June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Let's bring on the DLLS Mavericks insider. It is Bobby Corella. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gents. How we doing?
We're doing well. Hey, now, do you want to talk about some of the positive, or can we jump into some of your tweets about how this organization has made a string of terrible decisions?
Oh, man. See, life is all about balance, so I think that we should just, why not both?
Okay. All right, so I want to start with, obviously, the Daniel Gafford extension, as well as the idea that this does not necessarily mean that he will not get traded. And I mean, like, short-term traded. I know anybody could eventually get traded, but this still has him in play for potentially the ability to get traded, does it not?
Yes, so legally speaking, he got the kind of extension up to 120% of what he was previously making, which averages out to about $18 million a year over the next 3 years, starting next summer, which does mean that he is immediately trade eligible. But it seems like the vibe that we're all getting over here from the Mavs is that they did not sign him to that deal with the intention of trading him.
Okay.
They just signed him to that deal with the intention of giving him a raise because they consider him to be a pretty integral part of what they're doing here. You know, they want to have this two-headed monster at center. They want to be big and tall and bad and strong and all that stuff. Of course, the team is going to say that, but I actually do believe they are committed to keeping both Gafford and Lively around for as long as possible. We'll see if it makes sense, you know, once you get a little closer to free agency and maybe even into free agency and you're looking around like, oh, maybe they struck out on a couple guards that they wanted or whatever, you know, they might be forced to make a move. But as it stands right now, I do think that they are committed to keeping Gafford around. And I mean, he's a good player, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But that is potentially one possible trade machine chip off the table for Mavs fans.
Okay, and your answer to this next one might be similar. I understand free agency market and maybe waiting a little bit. Does that not seem like then perhaps it puts the spotlight on PJ Washington a little bit more in the trade machine?
To me, it sure could. I know Nico Harrison has a very, very high opinion of PJ, and PJ is a really good player, and it makes sense.
Sure.
And it seems like Jason Kidd likes him as well, but you got to give something to get something in the league, you know, and the Mavs, look around the rest of their roster. I think they have some guys like Max Christie or Jaden Hardy. You know, Christie is certainly a better player than Hardy, but they're both kind of interesting young guys, but they're not going to command a bunch on their own. Then you got guys like Klay Thompson that might be a little too old, might be a little too highly paid. And then someone like Najee Marshall, who I think definitely has high value if you're trying to make a deal, but he doesn't make enough money to match a lot of the salaries of guys that are considered to be available. And so PJ could be the guy that you would have to move if you're trying to get a really good guard, you know, and not just a guy on the minimum or, you know, someone like maybe Lonzo Ball who's trying to rehabilitate his value along with his body as he tries to bounce back from injury. So, you know, we'll see what they do, but I mean, I think it would be really tough to round out this roster and get a really nice balanced roster while keeping both PJ and Gafford, but I'm not sure that the team agrees with me.
Bobby, do you feel like the Mavericks are going to be looking to trade back into the first round on draft night?
It's possible. I mean, I just don't know how they're going to do that if they really do plan to keep both PJ and Gafford. Like, those are two of the only players on the roster, realistically. I mean, I don't think they're going to be shopping Kyrie or Anthony Davis anytime soon. I think those are two of the only, if not the only two players on the roster that do have just outright first-round pick value that a team would, in the Mavs' case, the team that they're making the deal with would have to send them less salary than the Mavs are sending out. So in a perfect world, the Mavs are just disappearing a contract and getting a first-round pick. Because that first round pick, you know, in the late part of the first round, you're going to be paying that guy less than $4 million a year. The Mavs are trying to shed salary so that they can open up mid-level exceptions and avoid the second apron, which comes with a whole ton of restrictions that they would have to abide by while rounding out the roster. So it makes sense that they would try and do that, but I just don't know how it's possible without giving up PJ or Gafford or someone else even more valuable than them to do so.
Unrelated, how do you feel about Walter Clayton Jr.?
Man, you know, guys that can score, and I mean, he will definitely shoot the ball.
Yes.
They're fun to watch, but, you know, it's just tricky, man. Like, scoring guards that aren't really tall, it's so tough because they could turn into something really good. And, you know, Mavs fans watch Brandon Williams down the stretch this season. And, you know, it certainly looks like he could have a future in the league after kind of bouncing around for his first few years. But then on the other hand, you can get a guy like Jaden Hardy, who it looked like he was, you know, super promising during his rookie year, but has since kind of fallen by the wayside. So it's just really tough. You know, I think you got to, especially as a guard, you know, unless you're 6'5", 6'6", like, you just have to make yourself valuable in so many different ways. And we'll see. I mean, you look at some mock drafts, he's not even going in the first round. And then you look at others, and it's like, yeah, he's the 20th pick. So I'm sure opinion on him is all over the place, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I know he's a very popular name among Mavs fans, I can tell you that.
Bobby, do you have a perfect world scenario on how they go about adding another point guard to this roster? Do you have a guy in mind?
That is a $10 million question, which is how much Lonzo Ball makes. And
yes,
he's the kind of guy that I would want because despite his considerable injury concerns, and I mean, he missed two entire seasons. I mean, this is a very serious injury history that you'd be getting in Lonzo. You know, he makes only $10 million this year and next year, and I believe that's like partially guaranteed or maybe not even guaranteed at all in year two. So if it doesn't work out, it's totally fine. But the ceiling is just so high. I mean, he's a guy that can defend the point of attack, which the Mavs really need, guys that can do that. He can move the ball in the half court and in transition. He can get this team out and running, and I know they want to run. They want to avoid playing in the half court as much as possible because they just don't have a lot of shooting. So if you can get a guard like Lonzo that's 6'5", 6'6", can get in there, get a rebound, or take a quick outlet pass and fling that thing down the court to guys like Cooper Flagg or Clay spotting up for three, that's easy looks. But then also, you know, he improved as a shooter a lot during his first few seasons as a pro, and so he could ostensibly play alongside Kyrie, and they need a guy that can run the offense without Kyrie, but then also fit alongside him once he's back. And I think Lonzo is a guy that can do that. But obviously, I mean, his injury history is just so scary that it really limits, I think, what not only the Mavs, but what all 30 NBA teams would give up to get a guy like him, which could play to their advantage because the Mavs don't have a lot to give up. So, I mean, maybe his price is so low that they could get him for something pretty reasonable. And that's a pretty low-risk gamble to take. But outside of him, I mean, I'm not as into Chris Paul as maybe some other Mavs fans are. You know, I think he's going to be 40 soon, and he's like 5'10". And, yeah, you know, he played all 82 games last year, but that's the first time he's gotten anywhere near that in a very long time. And I think he's a really good player and have a good impact on Cooper Flagg's development and leadership and all that stuff. But, and I don't know, I want guys that are on the right side of 6 feet. I want guys that are closer to 6'4", 6'5", and Chris Paul is certainly not that.
Now, I actually don't know the height of this person offhand, but if we're putting together the perfect offseason, would we jump in the time machine and tell Sean Sweeney we do actually care about keeping him and we would make that happen?
Ooh, yeah. Now, I think Sweeney's probably like maybe 5'10 on a good day.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm willing to make an exception for him.
Okay.
I am willing
He's
to
got
make
heart.
An exception for Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You cannot measure that.
What happened there?
You know, it depends on who you ask. You know, people that are close to the Mavs would tell you that well, taking an associate head coaching job, going to a different team away from Jason Kidd. You know, associate head coach is kind of a promotion, and he got a pay raise. And then from Sweeney's perspective, getting away from Kidd, who he's basically spent his entire coaching career with, could potentially shake this perception around the league that he's just Kidd's guy, or that he's only a good assistant because he works with one guy that he's really comfortable with. And if he goes to the Spurs and kills it, then maybe that could increase his chances of becoming a head coach, because he really, really does want to be a head coach in this league. Other people, though, would tell you that, you know, Sean Sweeney is one of many assistant coaches that is looking around for a new job and that is considering leaving. And it would make sense to do so, because as coaches, you got to look out for yourself first. And if there is a reason to believe that this regime isn't going to be around for very long, then you want to lock up as much guaranteed money as you possibly can. So I guess what happened there really depends on how cynical you're feeling and your opinion of Nico Harrison or Jason Kidd, or, you know, whatever kind of turnover. And I wouldn't call it a crisis, but certainly challenges the Mavs have been facing over the last 5 or 6 months.
Bobby Corella, DLLS Mavs, with us here on The Fan. Cooper Flagg, his role year one.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When do you see him initiating offense? Is he a two or a three next to AD at the four? How do you see this working early on here with Flagg and the Mavs?
Early on without Kyrie, I think it could be pretty clunky, just because Kyrie is that good. I mean, and it's impossible to replace him, you know, even if they get the best guard available. You know, it's just, you're not going to replicate Kyrie's offense. But, you know, once they kind of figure it out, I think his most natural position in today's era is either like a big three or a four next to a big that can shoot. You know, I look back at his film at Duke. I mean, that guy is just unbelievable at getting to the rim and finishing. He's 6'8", 6'9", strong, can jump, can finish, has really good footwork and all of those things. And so I'm, as a coach, I'm trying to maximize that. I'm trying to give him as much space as possible. But, you know, J. Kidd has alluded several times, including on our own show, to Flagg playing two. And on this team, that would imply that he's out there with guys like PJ, AD, and Lively or Gafford. And that's just not a lot of shooting or space for him to work in. And that is pretty concerning to me. I want driving lanes. I want cutting lanes. I want to make his job as easy as possible, especially as a rookie, because he's only 18. He's going to be 19 like around Christmas. I mean, he's like a really, really young guy. So I want his decision-making tree to be as simple and tiny as possible. That said, he can make some reads, you know, with the ball. He's not just a scorer. He's not going to break down a defense the way that, you know, Luka or some of these all-NBA players can do. Maybe he'll get there one day, but what he can do right now is find open shooters, and what he can do is find, you know, rolling big men, especially as he's getting downhill to the rim. And the Mavs have a lot of rolling big men, and they have some guys that teams will leave open. So, you know, his playmaking, I think, is going to be a work in progress for a while, but what he already can do is so far along offensively and especially defensively that I'm willing to work with, you know, all of the learning curves and all the lumps that he's going to take, because this dude is so much further along, in my opinion, than some of the premier wings that have come out recently, guys like Tatum, Jalen Williams, and Edwards. Like, he is so much further along than those guys. And, you know, look at what those players have become.
Do you feel pretty comfortable, like, almost straight away that he has the ability to defend the two, the three, the four? I know some people will try to argue four or five spots, but I don't know about that. But, like, I feel really good about his ability to already defend at the two, the three, and the four.
He definitely has, like, the desire and want to do that. And I think he's certainly got the strength to defend all the big-bodied threes and fours. I guess the question would be, you know, does he have the quickness and foot speed and all that stuff to stay in front of some of the quicker guards, you know, and even some quick wings, like guys like Ant, for example. I mean, Flag will compete with him. I don't know if he can stay in front of him, but the Mavs do have all these shot blockers on the team. And so really all you have to do is steer that guy into the help. And, you know, I have full faith that he can do that, because he does seem like a super high IQ basketball guy. Like, he knows what he's doing at both ends of the floor, really good instincts, really good awareness. And so I think, you know, within the team construct, he can definitely do that. I think he's best, though, as a weak side, kind of a roamer. And that's exactly what Anthony Davis is also best at. Huh. And you run into this situation where, like, okay, if all of our best players are roaming, then who's actually guarding someone? And so watching them work that out is going to be really interesting, you know, as those two share the floor, especially if they're on the floor at the same time as Gafford and Lively, who also like roaming. But, I mean, Flag is a competitor on defense. Like, he's not going to be afraid of anybody. He's going to battle his butt off every single night, every single possession. And so I do think, if nothing else, he can at least fit in as a team defender against quicker guys. But against guys that are strong, you know, rely on strength and body control and all that stuff, like, he could eat those guys up from day one, I think.
Bobby, before we let you go here, Kevin Durant to the Rockets, does that make them a surefire contender, second to OKC in the West?
It's a lot more scoring firepower, you know, and a little bit more shooting for them for sure than what they were getting from Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks. But I don't know, man. I mean, their starting five on paper looks really good and really nasty, but this is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league last year, and KD doesn't shoot a lot of threes anymore. So I'm not sure that they're going to score like 150 a game, and their defense without Brooks does get a little worse. But a guy of his cachet, you know, experience and all that stuff, I mean, you know, the Rockets kind of looked a little lost in that series against the Warriors at times, and KD just makes a lot of those issues go away because he is so dang good at everything. So it makes them more legit. It's really annoying. You know, there's 15 Eastern Conference teams. It would be great if one of those teams stepped up to the plate and took on getting a good player out of the West, but I guess none of them are interested in doing so right now.
Man, love it. Great stuff. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Bobby.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Oh, Jacob was done listening to him.
Quick finger.
DLLS Mavs Insider Bobby Corella right here on 105.3 The Fan. Seriously, I know we're just joking, but that was great information.
Oh, he's the man.
I'm really fascinated by the concept of the multiple roamers on defense and how that's going to work out and how you're going to have, hey, you're going to be assigned to this spot. I know you want to roam, but right. We're going to have to do this. Coming up next, Chiafalo will show us his erection.
Yes, let's present you today's Arch Report and some serious SEC bulletin board material next year on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We decided our weirdness quotient was only pretty high, so we added Carter Freeman because he knows how to get weird with us.
I've been summoned.
Yes.
For one reason, hey, one reason only.
I volunteered Carter's time for about 6 seconds, and then I ask Carter, because that's the decent human thing to do.
After demanding my time to begin
sure,
with.
Sure, that's fair.
He did both.
That's true.
Get you a man who does both.
And so we bring you in for our new segment, Erection. I think that's the best pronunciation I've had of it so far.
You nailed that.
Yeah. So, Eric, where are we going today?
Well, we're going to taunt the Sooner man himself, Carter Freeman, with a Nate Tice scouting report of Arch Manning. all like 2.5 games of playing time that we've seen. We now have a little bit of an idea. Nate Tice is fantastic with Yahoo. His father is Mike Tice, former NFL coach, Vikings and
heavyweight and, champion.
Yeah, heavyweight champion, all those things.
Yeah.
So this guy is well-versed in the world of sports and especially the quarterback position. And he's got a nice sort of deep dive article on Arch Manning. And so I would like to do a little bit of reading this scouting report. You guys stop me at any point. But before we do that, I did want to tee up Peyton Manning, who was on Bussin' with the Boys. And they asked him about, like, how often is Arch reaching out to you as Uncle Peyton, one of the greatest football brains of all time? How often is he reaching out to you, texting you, calling you to just pick your brain? This was Peyton Manning's response.
It's funny, you know, like these 19, 20-year-olds, I mean, the text response rate, it's not super high, right? It's not a great completion percentage. So I don't, I kind of let him reach out to me if he has a question. He came to Denver a couple of years ago. We worked out. That was fun. And he will every now and then text me with a question about, hey, a 2-minute drill. This is what happened in practice today. And I'm sure as soon as he texts me the question, he regrets it, because you can't answer a question about a 2-minute drill with a text back.
Especially with the phone you use. Yeah.
You have to go to the voice memo.
We have to.
And it can't be just one. So you bang him back with a 7-minute voice memo response about the 2-minute, about, you know, what the defense is doing and the plays that you like. You got to go to your staples.
Yeah.
Get plays that you like. And you finish it and you're like, I didn't even mention the fact that a defense after a timeout will probably come with an exotic blitz. So you better call a max protection coming out of the timeout. And then you finish that one. That's about a 6-minute. And you're like, well, but totally even, you know, forgot about the red zone.
Yeah.
And so he's 3 voice memos later.
Send me a video back.
He's probably calling Eli Moore. It's probably the answer.
So he's calling Eli Moore because Peyton is going to be sending him 5, 6, 7-minute voice memos in response to one simple 2-minute question.
What a drive-by on Eli right there. It's like, he probably didn't have a complex answer.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Know how he won 2 Super Bowls.
Well, Eli's just like, well, throw it up to the guy down the field.
Yeah,
and hopefully he makes the play for you. So I thought that was a great clip there from Peyton. But here is Nate Tice and some of the things that he says about Arch Manning. He kind of spoils his own article there at the beginning because he says everything that we've seen from Arch in the 2.5 games of extended playing time, he has all the indicative arrows pointing to a blue chip quarterback prospect for the NFL. This is not about will he be an NFL quarterback, but when. And so he's pretty bullish on what he's seen here. Nate Tice is quite the quarterback expert. I do appreciate his his scout's eye on the quarterbacks, especially coming into the draft, and guys that he likes. He loved Drake May, for instance, Jaden Daniels. He was a big fan of.
Yeah.
And he's obviously set the NFL world on fire. But he says, Arch Manning, first and foremost, superb athlete. Twitchiness, flexibility, ability to ad-lib and win with his legs are more akin to his father, Cooper, who was a wide receiver, as opposed to Peyton or Eli, who were obviously just stationary pocket quarterbacks. Real threat as a scrambler, design runs. He's got the size. I mean, he's 6'4", 225 pounds. And he's got the long speed.
Yeah.
That was evident.
One of his first plays when he came in once Quinn got hurt against UTSA was like a 75-yard touchdown run, right? I mean, Yes. That was like right off the bat, you got to see his speed and that he's more than just a, you know, good pocket passer.
And one of the things, too, is like he's a competitive runner. He can get physical on you. When you get a fourth down type run, he will get to the edge and break a tackle. A&M, I think he ran for a touchdown. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I know what happened. I remember.
Fourth down, there he goes. Arch to the edge. Corner can't tackle him. To the pylon for pay dirt.
And I always think this. I'm sure you guys think this about the Cowboys, whoever else. If I know the play call and I know what it's going to be, you damn sure well better know. I was like, you know he's going to keep it. He's going to go to the outside. And they're like, maybe.
And that was the thing with him pretty much every time he saw the field last year, outside of the games he started, was you know he's going to run.
Yeah.
And every single time it worked.
Yes.
Just really irritating as, you know, the armchair or quarterback, right, watching it and just being like, you know he's going to go that way.
Yes.
You can see it.
Yes.
And of course, the other team can.
Nate Tice says of Arch Manning, his accuracy and aggressiveness as a thrower when on the move really stands out, even working to his left, accessing all parts of the field, delivering the ball effectively. Creativity as a thrower, he says. He has repeatable and consistent mechanics. He's able to change arm slots to throw around incoming defenders, making even more throws available to him in less than ideal circumstances. He's painting quite the picture here, and we've seen the off-platform sidearm stuff that sort of started with Mahomes, and now you're seeing with more and more of these young quarterbacks. That's a huge skill.
I'm not saying that they're the same player whatsoever, and I think anybody who has really high hopes for Arch Manning is very justified in that. But do you think there are Texas fans who are concerned, or maybe not Texas fans, who are just waiting for the fall, who are like, I really feel like I heard a lot of the scouting report, maybe without some of the running, about Quinn Ewers, who was supposed to be the best of the best, and he was fine. Mm-hmm. And do you think some Texas fans fear the potential, he's good, about Arch Manning and not what we think?
No, just because he's had a full 2 years to sit in Sark's offense and learn. And in the brief things that we've seen from him, it's he does take sacks. That was one thing in his couple games that he did play, is there was, he would take a sack or two, like a bad, like 10-yard loss, as opposed to just staying in the pocket, right? But I think just given that he's had time in Sark's offense, the pedigree that he has, and the fact that you've seen Quinn Ewers didn't live up to the perfect rating that he had when he was a recruit, but he was still a good player at Texas. I think at this point, you're not going to get more what Chris Ashes or Tyrone Swoops, right? Like the awful quarterbacks they were thrown out during the 2010s. Like I think we're past that, just given how Quinn Ewers did and then what we think Arch Manning can be.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. One, physically, of course, 6'4", 225. Quinn Ewers is not that. But also there's another aspect to Arch's game that we'll get to here in a second that is definitely much different and much better than what Quinn Ewers was bringing to the table. Now, Nate Tice talks about the Arch Manning mechanics and the footwork as being really, really polished and impressive from the pocket.
I agree with that for sure.
He says the arm strength sits firmly at a plus level, can drive the ball over the middle of the field, dig routes, over routes, real zip, more than happy to fire those throws in to tight windows and things like that. He says he's got a beautiful deep ball. And I think one of the big differences that we'll see with Arch Manning, and you've already seen some of it, but we'll see it on full display this season. What did we lament about Quinn Ewers? It was just, everything was like 5 yards.
Yeah.
His yards per attempt were super low. And I don't know if that was Sark not trusting him or him just not being the type of quarterback that trusted himself to really want to push the ball down the field, whatever it was. But
it started to become that second one. Like, I'm telling you, it might have been the first one, but it became that second one where he's like, I can't.
Can't do it. Didn't trust himself. So he says Arch Manning is definitely aggressive, and it's in a complimentary way. Fun to watch. Big part of his game. Texas used a lot of play action concepts, classic posts, over route combinations, and with Texas's talented receivers stretching the field against overmatched competition, if Manning saw even a sliver of opportunity for a big play, he was going to take it. And when you look at his heat map of where he likes to target, you see a healthy chunk of throws that are over the middle of the field and down the field, pushing the ball in a way that you want your quarterback to do. I don't think Quinn Ewers was really ever doing that.
So, no, and that was even with first-round receiver in Matthew Golden, right? And maybe that went into early in the year, they didn't use Golden like I think they wanted to, or like he should have been used. They were going to Isaiah Bond over him, which in retrospect, that makes absolutely no sense. But yeah, the one thing in this article too that I'm reading is it must be noted the defenses that he played were 92nd, 95th, and 110th in the country. So opening this season at Ohio State, defending champion, not bringing back all the pieces from last year, but it's still Ohio State. They're going to have a good team. And you're breaking in basically an entirely new offensive line and a brand new receiving core.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the, if all of the traits and if he has that it factor, like, you know, Nate Tice thinks he does and so many other people do.
Do you think he does?
I mean, you have to really like what you saw from him in the couple games he played, but I do value the competition and what he has to play with too.
100%. And just general consistency over the course of a season. How often can you repeat that? And he did struggle. He had moments even versus UTSA or Mississippi State where he had some poor plays. Nate Tice goes into those by saying he clearly learned from those during the game when faced with a similar look. He then made the right decision after that. So there's going to be bumps along the way. And if this is going to be a two-year starting opportunity at Texas for him.
Which I think it is.
It sounds like that's where it's going. Yeah. I mean, unless they go win the title and he's the Heisman towards like, what else do you need to accomplish?
Sure.
Seems like that's the route that they're going to go. And that's what Peyton and Eli did, playing out the full term.
By the way, quick side quarterback, if we can bring this in as well, as long as we're talking college football quarterbacks.
Yes.
Are you guys surprised to see just happen within the last, you know, like 20, 30 minutes, Ryder Lyons commit to BYU as opposed to Oregon?
I did not see that. And that's interesting because Oregon whiffed on Jared Wilson, who's the number one overall quarterback. He went to Georgia, or he committed to Georgia. And then, yeah, I guess I did not see that they whiffed on him. But
yeah, I think he said it on McAfee. Like, that's you want publicity and whatnot. That's a good place to go.
So Oregon's got Dante Moore, former, you know, top five quarterback recruit. And I believe the 22 or 23 class. I can't remember which one, but he's going to most likely start this year, but he's got several years of eligibility, so maybe that could be a pathway for him to stay there longer.
Yeah.
And because Dante Moore needs the starting experience. When he was at UCLA, I liked a lot of the things I saw from him, but Chip Kelly didn't want to coach him. So then he goes to a program like Oregon where he learns under Dylan Gabriel for a year and then has Dan Lanning and Will Stein, the Oregon offensive coordinator. I freaking love him. He's going to be a great head coach someday. So maybe if he's not going to Oregon, maybe that'll open the door for Dante Moore to stay there longer. Or Oregon has, you know, dipped in the transfer portal market, right? Bo Nix, Dante Moore, Dylan Gabriel, like they've gone there before. So maybe that's just going to be their MO, is to stay, get a veteran, because they always want to win, right?
Just a crazy example of college football nowadays. BYU first offered Ryder Lyons his scholarship 1,300 days ago. So that's about 3.5 years ago.
My gosh.
Is he a mission trip guy?
Yeah, he is. He said he's going to be skipping his first year at BYU to go on an LDS.
I thought that might have been him. So maybe that played into it too. But yeah, that's
an interesting point. Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
But BYU also got the number one basketball recruit on this last cycle. So they're, you know, the Mormon church has the money to sink into this if they want to. And they did there, and they definitely did here.
If you've never seen the Mormon church headquarters, it is unbelievable.
It is spectacular.
It dwarfs the Capitol. Like, you're like,
oh, really?
Hold on. So that's the building. And I don't know if they say that, like, probably not openly, but like behind the closed doors, they're like, yeah, because that's where we do the business.
Incredible. Hey, we do have Florida State quarterback Thomas Castellanos giving Alabama some unreal bulletin board material ahead of their week one matchup.
Hit me.
You have Bama versus FSU. And his quote is, Bama doesn't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me.
Oh, man.
Good on Thomas Castellanos for having that kind of...
He's got that type of confidence.
Yes.
Man.
We're going 6-6 or 7-5 at Boston College last year. and beating Florida State in week two when they ended up going, 2-10?
Yeah.
That was like their signature victory.
That really is what he needed to take him to the next level.
I love it. I thought you were going to go into Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt saying, we're going to beat everybody on our schedule. Like, we're going to run Tennessee.
I think Sean told him to say that. I think he's like, hey, Vanderbilt football is where it's at.
And he's got the insider connection.
Thank you very much, Carter. And thank you very much, Eric.
My pleasure. Excellent
work by both of you guys. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who are the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL? Next, right here on The Fan.
So now first and five. Darnold with time. He wants to go deep for Addison, and it is caught inside the five at the two. Jordan Addison.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Gridiron Gravy coming up in just 1 second, but I want to remind you, we stole Eric Chiafalo from the G-Bag Nation today. The trade was they get Marcus Simeon at 320.
Well, it's hard to say that G-Bag didn't win that trade.
It definitely is, especially Eric, because yesterday, do you think you did a good job with hyping up the ticket giveaways?
I think in the moment, yes. Like, I feel like I executed once I was told what I had to do.
But weren't you in charge?
I was in charge. I dropped the managerial ball.
Okay.
That.
Will we do a better job today?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact. Let's give something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10 now will win a pair of tickets to go see Dermot Kennedy at the Majestic on October 16th. You can, of course, go buy those tickets, or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10, 877-881-1053. And right now, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy.
Yep.
There you go. I love it. All right. Good job, Eric.
Thank you. Good job.
Just remember, we have another ticket giveaway today. We'll be doing four packs of AEW all-in tickets later today. So, there we go. All right. I wanted to start with this because I was fascinated by this idea, and I've got a couple of names for you. The most underrated wide receivers in the NFL. And there were two in particular that I wanted to talk about.
Can I guess one?
Sure.
Nico Collins, Houston Texans.
Ooh, he is not in the top six.
I feel like he's pretty underrated.
Of this list, but maybe that just further proves he's underrated.
That's right.
Yes. Would you not argue if you're on the list of most underrated, you're no longer underrated?
That's right.
I really thought you were going to guess Jordan Addison because that's the highlight we played. Ooh. That was a big tip-off right there.
I was not paying attention to that. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. That is pretty much the MO of the person who sits in that seat to use the clue of the audio to help your decision-making. All right, so Jordan Addison and Juwan Jennings were at the top of this list. So for Juwan Jennings, kind of one of the ideas was he was behind, if you go back, Ayuk, Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, just because of how much they use him, obviously, in the passing game, and George Kittle, and yet he was still able to put together 975 yards, six touchdowns. So what about the idea that he will be moved? Obviously, Samuel moved on down the road. He'll be moved up in the hierarchy of the 49ers, and maybe he could do a little something.
Yeah, I would expect that. I would expect that for sure. And I mean, the Niners actually have the easiest schedule in the sport, according to Sharp Football Analysis this year. I know everybody's a little bit down on the Niners, me included, big picture of like of them being able to win a championship. Yeah. I think they've sort of missed that.
Fair.
But I do think they will be sort of surprising to people as a team that perhaps win their division, and I definitely have them making the playoffs, and I think he will be a pretty decent reason why.
Okay. Now, for the idea of Jordan Addison, do you think, because he was scoring touchdowns last year. He had 9 touchdowns last year. I think his rookie year, he had 10 touchdowns. I know sometimes he gets lost in some of the younger wide receiver shuffle. And I know like Chris Olave got injured last year, but he was a monster before that. What do you think about the prospects of Jordan Addison? Do you think he gets underrated? Because let's be frank, there are a lot of very talented young wide receivers out there.
There's no question he does. And I think it's most mostly to do with the fact that he plays with the best receiver, by most accounts, the best receiver in the league, in Justin Jefferson.
That's a great point.
When you think about Vikings and passing game or offense or receiving, you're only thinking about Justin Jefferson. And maybe that's part of the reason why Addison has acquitted himself so nicely, because, hey, you get to play opposite Justin Jefferson. Defensively, I'm going to have to worry about him a little bit more.
Sure.
But, I mean, I remember when he was coming out of the draft, Broadus was in love with him as a player. And that's all coming to fruition in real time.
19 touchdowns in his first two seasons. 19 receiving touchdowns. You'll take that all day.
Yeah, I think on pretty much any other team, not any other, but by probably 70% of the teams in the league, he's wide receiver one.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that's an interesting hypothesis. I don't know if I don't think I disagree with you at all on that. I like it. Bring in the opinions. I appreciate it. All right, let's go from that to, do you like the idea of bringing back taunting? Because Cam Jordan said, and we go back to the Fanatics Fest, I know we talked about that some yesterday, he goes, for fans, I think they love the excessive celebration. They scored a touchdown. They dragged three defenders off on their back. I get a quarterback sack. Give me 5 seconds. Put the spotlight on me. I'm going to kick him while I'm down. I think he means more, not in a literal sense.
Metaphorical.
Yeah, because then kicking. I could see how you wouldn't necessarily, Patrick Mahomes out with some broken ribs after Cam Jordan mercilessly kicked him following a sack.
That was the Joey Porter sack celebration where he would just kind of like kick the turf. He wouldn't kick the quarterback, even though you always felt like he would be one of those guys to do that.
For sure.
But I always liked that celebration. I'm here for the taunting. I'm totally here for the taunting. I love this suggestion from Cam Jordan.
Why do you think the NFL is so scared of the taunting?
Get the no fun league stepping in. Why is that? I guess ultimately when you get competitors and then you make a huge play on me and then you shove it in my face that I just got dunked on, so to speak.
Yes.
Now I might be reacting. I think it's they're scared of the reaction of the player who is now sort of the victim in the scenario. You just got mossed or whatever. Now the wide receiver's in your face or,
sure.
There's obviously a line that you can't cross, but I saw Warren Sharp actually has the taunting penalties the last 5 years by position. Which position do you think gets called for taunting the most?
I would say wide receiver.
By a mile, bro. 38 taunting penalties in the last 5 years by wide receivers. The next closest.
Is it defensive end then?
It's actually safety. Weirdly enough.
Big hit.
Yeah. And they get pumped up, okay. I guess.
All right.
But 13. So 30.
Oh, man, that is a big
38
camp.
Penalties for receivers over the last 5 years for taunting. The next best is 13 with the safety position. And then it's corner, linebacker, edge, DB.
Okay, man. You know what? That's a great point. Maybe we could come to a compromise. Is you can't overly celebrate your first down if you're a wide receiver. But if you get a touchdown, that's fine. For safety, you have to pick. Do you want it to be a turnover or big hit? I'll let you choose one category, but all the safeties have to agree. You have to have a safety vote. And then they're like, all right, we'll taunt after big hits or we'll taunt after interceptions.
I'd vote for the big hit.
Yeah,
dude,
like I want a town hall of safeties and everything, and they have their arguments. They have their representatives up there to speak about it.
Would the Cowboys have any representatives, or would they say you guys are just
We'd have
good
a ton
enough.
Of representatives up there, but everyone would be like, eh. You sit in the middle. Like,
I guess Donovan Wilson would be voting for the big hit.
Yes, I would be amazed if otherwise. And then the Cowboys might be like, hey, you could just wear a plain helmet there because you're positive he's on the team.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I am
okay.
Positive.
Yeah, okay.
I am.
See, that's all I wanted to know. All right, good news for not NFL players who want to be in the Olympics. Experienced flag football players will get a chance. They announced that there will be some semblance of workouts and competitions per USA football to determine who's going to be on the flag football team. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say there is a real competition, but Joe Burrow, or maybe Lamar Jackson. Let's go. Lamar Jackson, Bijan Robinson, they all want to be on the flag football team.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get picked no matter what the competition looks like? Or are you like, I don't know, man. This all-star team out of Detroit looks amazing. I never heard of any of them, but they're dominating. Do you think they'll go with the people who are dominating? Or they'll be like, yeah, I really need I really need Justin Jefferson out there.
I think everyone other than the individuals that are on those high-powered flag football teams want to see
the stars.
Yes, yeah. Like the TV network, everybody in the entire landscape of Olympic viewership is going to want people that they've actually seen and heard of before.
So, and I know this is a wrestling team, but you don't think they're going to take that flag football team name like the Motor City Machine Guns? And they're like, man, they're really good. We got to put them as our Olympic representatives.
I'm now going to look up what flag football team names just are.
Okay,
let me just
yeah.
get like a reference here.
Absolutely. I'd be curious about that. Hey, speaking of competitions, though this one makes me much sadder, what do you think about Zach Jackson of The Athletic saying that Joe Flacco has been the best pure thrower so far in the Cleveland Browns competition? And also, do you think there's any way they would carry four quarterbacks?
That would be really difficult. Like, I'm expecting somebody's not going to be in the mix there.
Who's
that somebody's
be?
Probably Kenny Pickett.
But Super Bowl winner Kenny Pickett.
He is technically a Super Bowl champion. He's like the Halliburton of the Olympic basketball
wow.
team.
Wow.
I mean the ball threw him yeah, in that game
I
versus
know.
The Cowboys.
You're right.
It was one of the. It's like one of the all-time blooper plays in quarterback history where the ball threw him in the pocket.
You're right.
He did like a full-on somersault.
By the way, second season of the Netflix documentary Quarterback will be out on July 8th. Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins. Plus, the final season of Squid Game will be out on Friday. That actually has nothing to do with football, but I just really felt like you might want to know that.
Thanks for that nugget. What do you like? Would you rather play for the flag football team, the Untouchables, the Flying Flags, or the Gridiron Glory?
Ooh, I like the Untouchables, just because that's a damn fine movie as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the skill set, coaching history, and hype behind Cooper Flagg, next on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.